It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen and the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
Wild winning ways. Yeah, that's right. We'll take a look at how they've gone 4-0 as of today, plus check in with Adam Beckman in Iowa as their season gets underway too. Not to mention, did you hear the news about ESPN Plus and PHF? We'll talk about that as well. As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, presented by Soda Stick, brought to you by Jim Beam, Better Edge, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. This is Season 3, Episode 96.
Be sure to join the Marcus Foligno Fan Club by purchasing your official tee at sodastick.com. A portion of all proceeds will go toward the Janice Foligno Foundation. And don't forget to snag 15% off all purchases with code BARDOWNBEAUTIES at sodastick.com.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting "Let's play hockey" prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. What's up? We're back. Episode 96. Lots to talk about. Alexis, do you want to talk Minnesota Wild undefeated record? Should we talk women's hockey on ESPN Plus? Or should we start with the Kirill Kaprizov autographed jersey giveaway from Better Edge, BETTOREdge.com? Yeah, baby. I'm really bummed that we like couldn't enter that. But did you have... any of your family members hop in and hope to win that very coveted prize?
I had a couple friends. I don't know about family members, but I will say I was like this close to coming up with like an alternate identity and being like, oh yeah, this is Sally Johnson trying to win a Kirill Kaprizov jersey. I swear it's not me, Alexis Pearson. What a sick prize. The Better Edge boys are awesome. So shout out to them for teaming up with us on that to get that opportunity out to people. I mean, that is like the kind of prize that like,
yeah,
no matter how long he's on our team, no matter what, that is a jersey that you want in your possession. So yeah, a great kind of prize. And shout out to whoever ends up winning that.
Yeah, good for you guys. I mean, I know a Victor Rask autographed jersey would probably be top of your list, Alexis.
Yeah. No, I actually already have one. I just need to get it autographed.
Nice. We'll start that fan club soon, for sure. It'll be epic. No, yeah, thanks to Better Edge for teaming up with us on that awesome giveaway. Don't forget that you can listen to Bard on Beauties on the Better Edge app, and you can also snag a free $10 with code BEAUTS, BEAUTS, when you sign up. Moving into Kirill Kaprizov, who actually has yet to score his first goal.
As of Sunday.
That's okay. I know. As of Sunday.
Sunday morning.
That's okay. That's okay, because the Wild are undefeated as of Sunday. 4-0 before they head into Nashville Sunday night. So, Alexis, you had predicted whatever, I guess, that they were going to be good. You're thinking 82-0, Central Division champs.
Yep.
Whatever. Tell me what your thoughts are on the start.
I am looking hella smart right now. Like, I'm not going to lie. I will take every opportunity to toot my own horn, and I'm going to take this opportunity now. Listen, I'm not saying the Wild are going to be 82-0. I'm saying statistically they are on pace to be. That's just math. You can't argue with that. They are on pace to be 82-0. So have fun trying to argue with me on that one. I did predict the Wild were going to win the Central Division. That is also looking like a pretty good take right now. But right now they've got the Blues up there with them, but they are ahead of Colorado. So, I mean, hey, listen, things are looking good. I'm sure this isn't going to stick. I'm sure they're not going to be 82-0, but if they are, you heard it here first. I was on top of that before everybody else. So
it's not going to happen. We're probably jinxing them as we record this right
now.
It's
like 7-0.
Yeah, it's going to be just an absolute travesty. We apologize. Should be a good matchup against Nashville. Shout out to 5 p.m. start times, because big old fan over here. I still got my Taco Bell post game last night. you know, I I'm surprised, right? Like, I'll be honest. I'm surprised 4-0. I mean, they've been playing such tight games too, which, as you all know, not a huge fan of when I'm on deadline and having to rewrite my stories. but I mean, it's been interesting. Like Anaheim, they're not that good. Mm-mm. So it's like, I didn't think that they should be playing. I mean, Jack Gibson, we all know how I feel about him, and Ryan Getzlaf played out of his mind. We also all know how I feel about him too. I love them both.
Are you a Ducks fan? I mean, honestly, I'm
love those
to
two. I just love, I got to talk to Getzlaf post game and I was just like, God, you're my favorite. I don't know what it is. He was playing like out of his mind, but I mean, is there a concern of that though, that they are, I mean, they've allowed the first goal all four of these games. They've had to play comeback and catch up. And sure, there is like that confidence. I actually even asked Dean Evason that on Friday during practice, saying, hey, is there such thing as being too confident in having to come back from behind? And he was like, well, we're not cocky. I'm like, well, no, I mean, you have to have a little arrogance to do it. But I mean, is that concerning, Alexis, that they're always coming back and winning from behind?
Yeah, in certain ways, yes, because that's not a sustainable style of hockey, right? You can't play that way for 82 games and for the most part come out on the winning side of that. I mean, teams who play that style of hockey more often than not are not going to be successful. You are going to get some really fun games where they battle back and maybe they push it to overtime and they lose in overtime. Maybe they find a way to win late. And the Wild historically have kind of been that kind of team, that gritty, like, hey, we're not going to blow everybody out of the water, but we will battle hard. And which has resulted in a lot of really fun come from behind victories or late heroics, like the Marcus Foligno 7-second left goal. But it is concerning when you look at, if you just take this 4-game sample that we're talking about here ahead of the Preds game, some of these teams, you know, you had 2 Ducks matchups and you had a Kings matchup, which those two teams are not, you know, fantastically organized teams, right? These are teams that the Wild should be able to perform pretty good against. Now, any team can win on any given night, and these are all professional teams, so they're good. But when you look at it, it's like, oh, I kind of wish that maybe they would have played a little stronger in some of these games and not made it so hard on themselves. But it is what it is. They are working with a lot of new pieces in their lineup and some different lines than they were working with last year. So they're probably still trying to get into the swing of things for themselves as the season gets rolling. You know, having fans back in the building for the first time, there's a lot of new things going on for this team. So I'm not too concerned yet. Now, if they're still playing this way, like in, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, then I'm gonna be like, oh, there's some things.
But if they're winning, are you still
a little bit? Cause like I said, can they do this, you know, all the way through March and April? I don't know. Yeah. That to me just doesn't seem sustainable. So I love a good game like that. I mean, those kind of games are so fun to watch. But for those of us on deadline, like Jesse, and those of us who just, you know, are going to melt into a puddle if I have to watch a game like that every single night, it can be exhausting. So hopefully you find ways to tweak it so you don't have to play that way all the time. So far it's working. We'll take it. I said it in my Butte sub breakdown today. We'll take a win however we can get it. But you do want to find ways to have more sustainable styles of winning that'll benefit you better long-term.
And can we talk about the fourth line? I mean, you know, I've been a Nico Sturm fan for quite some time, but you also got Brandon Duhame gets his first goal in what,
Dean if Epson you want to call it that,
ugliest first goal he's ever seen, as he just basically the skate goes off his skate. And Nick Bjugstad, I mean, that line just really impresses me night after night. I mean, they're constantly in the mix, in the buzz. It's really great. I mean, I think it's almost comforting when you do have the first line that's kind of up and down. I mean, they certainly, not to say that they're playing poorly at all. Joel Eriksson, obviously, with a hattie for that comeback win in the home opener, but they're getting contributions from all four lines for, I think, the first time in like 6 years that I've covered them, you know?
Well, and the thing is when you play a gritty style of hockey, kind of like how the Wild have played here in the first handful of games of the season, that has to start on your third and fourth line, right? The superstars on the top lines will get the job done when that opportunity comes. But it really starts with the bottom lines grinding and getting, you know, getting in deep and aggravating the opponent and getting under their skin and starting that ball rolling in the right direction, so that by the time those top lines get out there, they just finish the work that the third and fourth lines have already started for them by kind of just getting back into the game. So I do think that has been a big reason that the Wild have been successful, is because you need four lines rolling to win gritty games like that. You just do, because players are going to get tired. Battling back is exhausting. You're doing a lot of defending that way. So you need everybody contributing the minute they step onto the ice. And it is a relief as you know, a fan or someone who covers the team, to be like, hey, this third line is out here, this fourth line is out here, and they might still get us a goal, or they might get things rolling the right way, or they might make a big, you know, defensive play. So I do think that has benefited the Wild a lot. And this depth if you are going to have to keep playing this gritty style of hockey, if you don't get all the right pieces working to where you're on top night after night, that is going to help you be a little bit more sustainable than some other teams who don't have that depth. It's also good news because you will deal with injuries throughout the season, right? Most teams don't stay 100% healthy the whole way through. It's a long season. It's a tough season. To have that depth and know that those third and fourth lines can contribute and pick up the slack when the top lines aren't doing their job, that's going to benefit you as well if and when those injuries hit and you need to rely on some of the bottom line players to step up and play some bigger roles.
Or COVID too. I mean, that's COVID still too. Yep. That could absolutely take a team down. You know, we might see Rem Pitlick against his former team, the Nashville Predators, today. Not sure. Dean Evason said yesterday post game that he still was kind of unsure about the lineup. My guess is yes. And then maybe a Victor Rask comes out because you can't take a Duhame out. You can't take a Nico Sturm out or even a Bukestad. So that would be maybe my hunch. I'm interested to see. I know we got a lot of questions about him last week in our Cues with the Buttes. Be sure to go check that out on our YouTube channel. but another guy that we are seeing for the first time this season, Kaapo Kähkönen. You know, it's his first start season debut. Alexis, how have you thought Cam Talbot has played in net, and how important is it going to be for Kaapo to really start off strong and get a win just for his own confidence? Because I think that's what killed him last year, is that he just lost the confidence in himself.
Well, first of all, Cam Talbot, my thoughts on him are, I thought he's played fine. There's been some games where he has been a little bit shakier than others, like that Winnipeg game. I thought a couple of those goals were a little questionable, and that was a tough game. That was a fast paced game. There's a lot going on. So I'm not going to, you know, take that one game and decide how I feel about him for the whole season. And again, it's the beginning of the season, so a lot of moving pieces still as everybody kind of gets reorganized into a new season here. But overall, I would give him, you know, B plus, A minus. I really liked a lot of what he's done. I thought he's kept the Wild in some games. The game-winning goal against the Jets, that all got started because of a massive, massive save by Talbot. Mm-hmm. And something a lot of people I noticed haven't really talked about. They've talked about the save, but something that I noticed immediately was he did not cover up that puck. He knew if he pushed it forward and kept the play moving, the Wild were going to have an odd man rush. That is hockey IQ, seeing the ice well. That's what good goaltenders do in that kind of situation. So that almost stood out to me just as much as the massive save. So he has done a lot of really good things for this team so far. Kaapo coming in against the Preds. Obviously, you guys are listening to this after this game has happened. But what I'm hoping is this Preds team is not one of the better teams in the league right now. You know, they've had some issues in the past couple of years as well. They just aren't as strong as they used to be. So I think it gives Kaapo a chance to maybe get some confidence against a team who is beatable for the Minnesota Wild. You're on home ice, so you've got the energy of the crowd behind you, and the team is hot. You got to keep the streak going. You don't want to be the guy that lets everybody down. So there is, you know, it's not the end of the world if they lose game five of the season, right? But there is a lot of pressure in a way where it's like, hey, there's a lot of good things working for this team. Everyone's looking to you to say, okay, are you a good goalie or are you a bad goalie? You gave us a little bit of both last year. So here's your chance to kind of prove yourself, get a game under your belt and get comfortable with this team, because they are going to need him to play some big games, especially once it gets later on in the season and Cam Talbot's body, you know, starts to wear down on him a little bit. So I'm very excited to see what he does in that Sunday game against the Preds. And hopefully he can keep the streak going for the Wild.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think Cam has been fine. I think he gets better each game that I've seen him in, and he does come up huge when he needs to, which is so crucial. But yeah, there have definitely been some goals where you're just like, huh, some of them, I don't think you can blame him at all for them. Right. But there have been a couple where I'm just like, that was not a very good, especially in that Winnipeg game. I think we saw a lot of that where it was a little bit brutal. I love that you had mentioned that Cam had pushed it up, because I think that's such an identity of this Minnesota Wild team as it is today. I mean, we talked about last week how the defensemen are so quick to jump into play, and that's the difference, right? I mean, there's not really, it's go, go, go. Let's push the rush. Let's get it through the neutral zone. Let's get the possession and really get control. So I love to see that. I think that's why you're going to see, again, an offensive juggernaut in the Minnesota Wild. So we love to see it. Again, probably 5-0 when you're listening to this. We'll see if they're not. Whoops.
Sorry.
We probably jinxed it. Let's talk about more exciting news. I know people have their feelings on ESPN taking over coverage of hockey. However, They're doing a tremendous job reaching all avenues of hockey. Every time I turn on Hulu, ESPN, college games, pro games are all first thing to pop up. Love to see that. And now pretty soon, Alexis, ESPN Plus will be covering the league formerly known as the NWHL, now the Premier Hockey Federation, to be more inclusive, the PHF. You are going to be there. Tell us what people can expect, how they can watch on ESPN Plus, and what your role will be with the Women's Professional League.
Yeah, this is super exciting on a personal level. It's exciting on a hockey level. It's exciting as a hockey fan level. I mean, there's so many things to this that I'm so excited about to have this season get going. And ESPN Plus now kind of being the home of all professional hockey, right? I mean, that is really cool in itself to say, you can go here, you can watch women play, you can watch the men play. We've got everything. We've got post-game coverage, pre-game coverage. Everything you need is going to be there. And so I like that, first of all, that everything is in one place. That makes it much more accessible for a hockey fan to just tune in and be like, I don't know what I'm going to get today, but I'm going to get hockey and that's all I care about. So I love that, first of all. Second of all, I will be back covering games this season. So kind of my title shifted from a Whitecaps broadcaster to a league broadcaster. I'm covering any, whatever game they throw me on. That's what I'm going to be doing, which I really like that. I love the Whitecaps, but getting to cover a variety of teams is really exciting as well. So it's going to be much like last year when I went down and to Fort Lauderdale in January, and I kind of covered a variety of teams. Same company is going to be producing the game, so I get to go back to work with them. And ESPN Plus will be taking the stream and broadcasting it out there. So I'm really excited about that. 60 games, I believe it is, throughout the season that will be on ESPN Plus. Some details still coming out about how the broadcasts are going to look. I've been getting emails over the last week or so. They want to do, you know, pregame and intermission interviews with the athletes and all this kind of stuff that they want to bring to the broadcast to make it more exciting and puff it up a little bit more and give the fan more to see, which is more than what we did last year when we covered the game. So they're working hard to make this a good broadcast for people and to get this coverage out there for people to see. And it is a big step in the right direction, and I'm really excited about it. So yes, it's the formerly NWHL, now PHF. They're not two different leagues. They are the same one, just the name change. They're going to be on a big stage this year. So I'm excited about it.
I mean, first of all, you obviously deserve that. Our friend Erica, she's also broadcasting. Yes. Go back and listen to our interview with that.
My co-broadcaster with the Whitecaps is going to be doing some games as well. That happened just this weekend. So a lot of awesome people getting an opportunity to be a part of that. And a lot of people I worked with when I was down there last year doing it as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I mean, mostly the women's league deserves that. They deserve that exposure. And I think as we continue to try to grow the game on all aspects, ESPN is going to be a huge hand in that. Hopefully they get it right. Right. I'm sure there's going to be growing pains as well. Be patient with them. They're trying. So very excited again. Congrats to you on our behalf, and congrats to the league as a whole for taking that next step, because you got to put it in front of people in order for people to start following it and getting into it. So love, love, love it. My parting words, Pierce's parting words. This is a new thing that I just dropped right now. I just made it up. I think it sounds great. Pierce's parting words are, did you guys see that the Seattle Kraken retired the number 32?
Yes.
In honor of being the 32nd franchise, as well as the 32,000 season ticket holder deposits or something like that. So Minnesota Wild fans, you are no longer the only, I'm going to say, losers with the number one jersey retired for the fans. Ironically, it's the same CEO in Seattle that retired the number one jersey here in Minnesota, also retiring 32. So that's his shtick. So bravo, Seattle. Although, all jokes aside, crushed it on their home opener. Absolutely loved it. Holy cow, did that arena get loud. Did you check any of that out, Alexis?
I did get to watch a little bit of it and saw some clips on social media and whatnot. I remember like when Vegas played their first home game and watching those intros, and it's really cool. And I saw some people who work for Seattle working for the team saying, like, you know, it's so cool to be here. Like, how often can you say that you were there for the first home game of a new team in a league? I mean, it is really a cool thing. Seattle obviously not off to the best start this season, but people are loving, being a part of watching them and rooting for them and all of that. I'm going to pull the jokes back in for one more second and just say that everyone better leave the Wild alone now and focus all their energy to making fun of Seattle for retiring number 32. We are no longer the laughingstock. Please focus your attention elsewhere. Thank you. That's my speech on that.
That's fair. Fred, you pumped about Seattle? Did you watch the game?
No, I was at the Minnesota United game. Sorry.
Oh, how
that's,
did
well,
how
was, I cheated on the, you all.
How was the game sport. At the pitch? Was it 1-0?
It was good. It was good. And it was 1-1. It was a draw, unfortunately.
Oh, see.
I know. So that's the sucky part about soccer.
Yeah.
Football.
That's fair.
Football.
Overseas fans.
This is very true. One last final Pierce's parting word on Seattle. The Rain City Bitch Pigeons now follow me on Twitter. So next step, verification, baby. That's what we're going for.
Who needs verification when you have that? Forget about that.
No, I liked one of their tweets and they're like, oh, follow. And I was like, yes. Amazing. All right. That's going to do it for our first segment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Mr. Adam Beckman joins us to check in on the Iowa Wild. We'll be right back.
It's hockey season, baby, and the best way to head into a new season is to be fully equipped with all the merch you need to cheer on your favorite teams. Oh, and some Bardown Beauties merch too, right? Right. We've got you covered. Literally, head over to teespring.com where you can find all kinds of custom design Bardown Beauties apparel, plus so much more.
Joining us now, Mr. Gordie Howe hat-trick himself, Adam Beckman. Adam, I mean, you made quite the impression with Minnesota Wild fan base. Quite great fanfare. Let's go back to that game where you get the Gordie Howe hat-trick. Do the Gordie elbow. For those who don't understand, that's what you were doing, right? Was the tribute to the Gordie elbow.
Yeah, it was.
And it's the Hanson brothers do that. You guys got to get more up to date on your film. I think a lot of people were curious. What was that game like for you? I know the fans were rocking. Everybody was absolutely loving it. And they got to see, Adam Beckman in all this glory. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was, it was definitely something that I'll remember. Obviously, it didn't kind of start the way I would have liked it to with the way the fight went and stuff like that. But to have it finished the way it did, it was a ton of fun.
Well, and even for, you young guys playing down in Iowa and getting some shots here up in Minnesota and whatnot, you got to play in front of fans, which a lot of people are experiencing for the first time again in a while. And maybe for some of the younger guys haven't really gotten that pro fan experience. What was that like to not only have a good performance in front of a group of Wild fans who are excited to watch these young prospects like yourself, but just to feel that normalcy for a little bit of time?
Yeah, it was awesome, I think. I think that was not the game, but that was my first time that week being in XL. So just being there with the fans was really cool. And just kind of seeing the atmosphere, obviously it still wasn't at the full capacity, but it might've been, this week, but, it was tons of fun to, get the opportunity to be in there and seeing that.
You know, you're obviously an offensive juggernaut, a fighter. I didn't really know much of. How many career fights have you ever? Was that what kind of your first one?
Yeah, that was my first one.
I mean, did Marcus Foligno say anything to you about it at all? Like, give you tips or be like, hey, I think he joked with us that he should have told you to pick a different guy.
Yeah, I think the tips came after the math, not before.
Obviously you had a phenomenal camp. What was it like to really feel the support from the Minnesota Wild fan base? This is a team that has been obviously craving and clamoring for some success, and you're a huge part of that future moving forward. What's that been like for you as a player to finally kind of be recognized and be like, hey, they're really looking at me to take this team to the next level?
I don't know. I just kind of, like I always mention, I just try to take it day by day and just try and cherish everything and just enjoy it as much as I can. I think, obviously you don't even really look at it that far ahead. Just try to have fun and enjoy, all the stuff that gets to come with it. I think, that's, like I said, playing in front of the fans and stuff was super exciting, and, it gives you a taste of what, someday, hopefully you get to do all the time.
This Minnesota Wild team has, for a while been one of the older teams in the league. It's now become a lot younger team, and you guys are part of that movement that's making it younger, this prospect pool that is so exciting to, get some opportunities and have the fan base talk about what you guys are capable of. How cool is that to, know that you could play a part in this young future for the Minnesota Wild and getting to play with some of these other younger players who are going to be a big part of that future as well? Even though you say you take it day by day, I know there's parts of you that are thinking about that possibility.
Yeah, I think it's, it's exciting. Obviously, even being in the American League, it's that same type of atmosphere and stuff. And, getting to, work with all the players here that, you might end up with in the NHL. I think, our coach here talks about how there's, there's a lot of guys that are, in playing for the Minnesota Wild right now, came through Iowa and stuff like that. So I think, building relationships with everybody is something that, is important. And, you know, that's kind of how the organization's ran, I think.
What were your impressions of Bill Guerin? He's a guy that loves to kind of create that competition. And we all saw the video that kind of went viral where he said, you know, we got to win. I mean, how exciting is it to have him overseeing this organization? Because you can tell he's a guy that doesn't take losses lightly.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think, you know, just kind of having the opportunity to be around guys like Billy and everybody else in the organization, you know, they want to win. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing. It's just, that's the best way to develop. And that's the best way to kind of move forward and have fun, I think, is winning. So to be in that atmosphere is awesome. That's kind of right up my alley.
What was his messaging to you once, you know, hate to bring up any bad memories of the day that you got sent down to Iowa. What did he kind of tell you, or what did he relay to you in that moment to say, hey, you know, we obviously, you impressed him and Dean Evson at camp, but we're going to send you down just for a little bit. What was that like? What was the conversation like?
Oh, I think just, you know, build off of it, I think, is one of the biggest things. Just continue to, like I said, take it day by day and improve every day. But yeah, just build off of kind of how I did and kind of try and take that confidence to Iowa and stuff like that, I think was probably the biggest part of it.
Mm-hmm. What's some of the advice that you get from some of the guys who played on the Minnesota Wild team for a bit of time and being around them at training camp and the time that you guys get to spend together leading up to that season? I'm sure they have lots of tips and tricks for how to improve your game as a hockey player and just as a person trying to make it in this career. What's some of the advice that they've given you this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, just the short time I was there, you learned so much just being on the ice or in the gym, you know, everything that kind of corresponds with being a pro hockey player. I think just kind of watching them and their day-to-day habits just kind of rubs off on you. And I think, you know, all the things that they do and, you know, even in practice, just how diligent everything is and stuff like that. So there's so many takeaways. And, you know, as a person, I think, you know, it's nice to see even at that level that everybody's still out there having fun and stuff.
Obviously you play the Adam Beckman game, but who would you most relate your game to? I mean, I think you've got the speed, the skill, the shot, which again is what has people so excited, but who do you kind of assimilate yourself to as a player on the ice?
Yeah. I don't know. I think like when I was going through the draft process, they'd always ask me that. And I usually kind of relate to like a guy like Jake Gensel or somebody like that, a player like that, kind of, like you said, likes to shoot and use his skill, I think.
You know, Jake Ensley, you dropped a Minnesota name, so that's going to get you very far in this fan base, in case you didn't know that.
Yeah, I did know that.
Smart. You're smart. You thought that one through, apparently, huh? you know, again, in Iowa now, you're playing with guys that you know you could lead this team, as Alexis had said. How excited are you to have kind of a regular season even down there? Again, they're going to have fans and things will get back to normal a little bit. How much does that really mean and impact your guys' kind of play and vibe on the ice a little bit?
I think it's so exciting. I think even in the meetings and stuff that, you know, we went through, it's just the idea that, you know, we're playing for something and that, you know, there's an end goal in mind and that's what you're focusing towards is huge. I think obviously last year is a little bit different, just kind of not having a lot to work for. Obviously in the NHL there was, but not in the American League and even in junior where it was for a little bit. So to have the opportunity to, you know, be chasing something and working towards it every day, I think is definitely motivating and makes it, you know, exciting to come to the rink.
You know, something I love asking the AHL guys is kind of, you know, what it's like playing in a league like that, where guys are up and down, you know, guys are leaving the AHL to go play in the NHL for a little bit and then coming back, the lineup is being juggled so much more than when you're in the NHL. And I imagine that's kind of tough to work with sometimes, especially when you have such talent on the team and you know you could make a run to win something in the AHL. What is that like, just seeing that the lineup change so often as guys get bumped around?
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, you definitely learn a lot about different players and their adaptability. I think it's something you have to kind of learn to do, and I'm still trying to do. I think, you know, it's definitely different. You know, like you said, guys go up and down all the time. So just continue to, like I said, take it day by day and try and just focus on that. And that's the way it has to be, because like you said, it can change so quickly.
Did Dean grind in the day by day? Every time we talk to him too, he's like, gotta take it day by day. Was that what he really stressed to you guys every time you're at camp too?
A little bit, I think. I think that's just like kind of the hockey player way. I don't want to look too far ahead because you can't really.
You got to get pucks deep, get pucks to the net, all of that good stuff too, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got to spend some time with the mega superstar here now in Minnesota, Kirill Kaprizov. What did you kind of take away from, you know, seeing him play and his work ethic? And what was your general opinion of just kind of being around him as a player and as a person?
Yeah. Obviously, like, you know, you watch on TV and you hear so much about him, but to, you know, be on the ice with him and just watching the skill he has is, it's crazy. And, you know, it's even more than you think or than you read. So, you know, it's definitely eye opening and pretty cool to see. And obviously as a guy, he's, you know, an awesome guy and tons of fun to be around the rink with him. So yeah, it was pretty cool to kind of see that first time.
Does he know more English than he leads on? Because we're trying to get everyone to tell us, because he, you know, sounds like he knows mostly just Russian, but we think we have a theory. He knows more English than he leads on to believe. What do you have to say about that? Is that true?
I think, I don't know. I've played with some European players that are like fluent in English and can't even really tell. He obviously I think he's still learning it and stuff, but you can have a conversation with him.
Yeah, that's what we thought. He says he can't, but he knows. And you know, unlike what some LA Kings defenseman might think, he's definitely not overpaid for anything, right?
No, not at all.
You know, now some kind of fun questions I want to ask you just so people can get to know you, because again, I think Minnesota Wild fans are going to have to get to know you. You're making a case for yourself to be up here sooner rather than later. If you could binge watch any Netflix series, what is it? What's your go-to? I'm sure you did plenty of that while you were quarantining and doing all that stuff in the weird time.
Honestly, like I've kind of watched pretty well all the basic sitcoms, like The Office or How I Met Your Mother, Friends. So those probably what I would stay to watch again, probably, because you can kind of just run right through them.
Yeah. So you're just like a rewatcher more than anything.
I don't usually rewatch, but if I were to like binge watch and just like you said before bed or something like that, and just finish them all or watch a bunch at a time, it'd definitely be them.
Are you superstitious at all? Like any pregame rituals you have to do or tape in your stick the right way?
A little bit. I think, you know, just routine is probably the type of thing. I think we all have the same type of routine. So that's kind of the superstition, I guess.
Yeah. No socks that are being worn consistently over and over again or anything like that. No. That's nice, because I've seen players who've done that and it wasn't favorable for us at all. Favorite hockey movie?
Favorite hockey movie? Probably the Mighty Ducks. I don't know.
That's a good one.
You're just building up these points for Minnesota here. Like, way to go.
There's not many. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's usually that or Miracle, right?
Yeah.
I guess Miracle too. Yeah, I like Miracle.
Yeah. Here's one where you could really get Minnesota fans on your side with this answer. Feel free to lie just to make people happy. Who was the team you most wanted to play for when you were a kid? And is it the Minnesota Wild?
Minnesota Wild.
There we go. See, easy answer. There you go, fans. What about your favorite? Are you a cook at all? Would you consider yourself a chef?
No.
Okay. No, I was going to ask what your favorite meal to cook is, but mine is a frozen pizza. So you can give an answer like that.
My favorite meal is the one that gets cooked for me.
There we go. All right.
Do you miss mom's home cooking? Was she a pretty good cook?
Yeah. I think, you know, just like food at home is just different. Even if it's not gourmet or anything like that, it's just kind of tastes the best. So yeah, I definitely miss that.
All right, how about AHL bus trips are the norm, right? So what is your like go-to like bus activity? Like, are you doing Sudoku? Are you listening to music? Are you like flicking the ear of the person in front of you? What's the go-to move?
Well, music for sure, and probably a little bit of bugging. I think my norm, and a little bit of cards too. Kills time.
What's your music playlist like? What do we have?
A lot of country.
Nice. Taylor Swift.
Oh, okay.
No. Taylor Swift, but not a ton of it.
Yeah. Over under 3 Taylor Swift songs on your bus. Under. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair. And then kind of final question. What has you most excited about being a member of the Minnesota Wild organization and the Iowa Wild, and what gets you super amped to one day be in the state of hockey up here?
Yeah, I think just like you said, the state of hockey, like how embrace of the community is, and walk around even just downtown, you see like when there's the night of a game, even there's people, you know, in the streets getting ready to go in that entire atmosphere, playing at the XL and just being around the entire organization, and everybody just kind of is so nice and welcoming. So I think that's probably what makes it the most exciting.
I love it. Well, Adam, I know fans are very excited to see you up here again. Like I mentioned, sooner rather than later, you certainly impressed all of us that got to see you at camp, and I'm excited to see how things go down in Iowa for you. It'll be another great fan base down there too. I know they're very amped on the Wild in Des Moines, so that's exciting, but we hope to chat with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is producer Fred. I just want to make sure everybody was up to date on every single thing that's going on with Bardot and Beauties for season 3. We've got shirts coming out. We've got some sweepstakes. We've got some announcements. Like, follow, share. You'll be right on top of all the news.
We're back. Shout out to Beckman for having some fun with us. I really do. I want to see him get his chance up here. I know he will. It's bound to happen. But yeah, he was a fun dude. He's going to be a fun player to watch, because he's, if not this year, it's coming. His time certainly is coming, Alexis.
Yeah, I was rooting for him to get a roster spot out of training camp. Obviously didn't happen, but like you said, it is really only a matter of time. I mean, someone who impresses the coaching staff and the fan base that much just in training camp and a few preseason games, it's like that's a kid who's going to have some success in the league, and rooting for him, obviously, to get up here sooner than later. Hopefully not because of any injuries or anything, but hopefully they find some value in him to get him up here, because I think he's going to do some damage. He's the kind of player I think I'm going to really enjoy watching in this league, so I'm very excited for him.
Shocking. The Gordie Howe hat trick just
broken nose in. Comeback scores the OT winner. That is my style of hockey.
Love to see it. All right, let's wrap segment 3. Alexis, you posed a fantastic question. Who is going to lead the Minnesota Wild in scoring this season? Kevin Fiala, Kirill Kaprizov, or Joel Eriksson-Ek? Some of you are getting on us for doing the engagement properly. All right, this is how
Brandon Molesky.
This is how we get followers. Molesky telling us that we can't. Yeah, we don't do polls. We do it this way because that's what we need to do to help build our brand.
To hell with the polls.
Suck it.
We're trying to get engagement, you haters. If you don't like it, don't respond to it.
Yeah, but most of you do, and we appreciate you.
Yes.
Thank you.
It makes it more fun, you guys. Come on, don't be haters, all right?
Yeah, right? All right, so it's tough now, right? Because you know who the leading scorer is right now, but who is your prediction to shine? There's a lot of hockey left in the season. Who's going to come out on top?
Well, first of all, I want to say we got to clarify, Jesse, because I didn't think of this when I posted this question, but people were saying, they were like, do you mean scoring as in points or do you mean scoring as in goals? And when I posted it in my head, I was thinking goals, but scoring technically means overall
points. Yeah.
So which one do you want to go with? Cause I've got different answers for each. So we'll just decide and make it even and then make a pick based off of that.
Let's go points. I like points. Okay. It makes it a little different, a little interesting, right?
Okay. So let's do points then. And if we're going with points, I am going to go with Joel Eriksson-Ek. And I know that that's kind of, you're like, well, duh, he's leading the team right now. Well, okay, we get it. But my reasoning for picking him is, I know I've said in the last couple episodes and some different videos we've done that Kirill Kaprizov needs to be the MVP of this team. He has got to get points. He has got to contribute to the scoring. He has to be noticeable. He has to make a difference in each game. That is very important to the Wild success. So I could see Kirill being the leading scorer as well, and that would be fantastic. I would have no problem with that. But the reason that I kind of get a vibe that Joel Eriksson-Ek might be that leading scorer, as long as he stays up on that top line, he is centering two guys who can really shoot the puck. So he might be getting off more passes and be involved in more plays, and therefore possibly will finish with more points. If he continues to score at the pace he's scoring at and throw some assists in there, he might be the guy at the end of the day who leads this team in scoring. And I don't know if that's necessarily the worst thing in the world, right? I mean, you need your top line center to contribute to scoring plays. That's what they're there for. So I'm going to say Joel Eriksson-Ek. I'm crossing my fingers that, you know, hopefully it's maybe Kirill Kaprizov instead. I wouldn't hate to be wrong about this, but so far Eriksson-Ek is making a name for himself on that top line. And I really liked what I've seen out of him so far. So if he stays healthy and stays on that top line, I'm going to say Joel Eriksson-Ek has the most points on this team at the end of the season. How about you?
Remember, Jesse, when we made fun of Kevin Faulkner for like predicting that Joel Eriksson-Ek was going to score like 40 goals and 40 goals, wasn't too far off. Yeah. People don't forget Faulkner. It was good. It was a good guess. No, I mean, I would have gone the same way, but for sake of differing opinions, I will say Kirill Kaprizov. Okay. I think everything that you had just mentioned about Joel Eriksson-Ek is spot on, right? Like, he's going to get those assists. He's going to get the goals too, down in front, the rebounds. It's going to be great. But we know once Kirill Kaprizov gets that first goal, it's off, it's on, it's, you know, here we go, giddy up, buckle up. I think he's doing well at assisting. Again, we're seeing a lot of what we saw last year where he needs to be more selfish. He is a player that is allowed to be selfish instead of dishing it off to Matt Zuccarello.
We need you to be selfish.
Yes, like go in and score on those opportunities that are there. So, I mean, I think I'm sure the coaching staff is stressing that to him. I know we talked about it last year. His dad stresses it to him all the time. I mean, us media members are going to stress it. Like, just go in and take the shot or set up the play for yourself too. I mean, you're very capable. He can move the puck and it's great. I mean, and it's nice to see him not wanting to be that center of attention guy, but dude, you're getting paid the big bucks. You're the superstar. We need you to be that guy. So long story short, he's going to score. He's going to score a lot, which will lead him to the, be the Minnesota Wild leading scorer this season.
Do you think, I got a question for you. Do you, would you, would it shock you if Kirill Kaprizov finished the season with more assists than goals? Would that be like a surprise or a bad thing? Do you think?
That's a great question. It wouldn't be a bad thing. Of course not. Right. I mean, but maybe a little bit just because you signed him to score goals. Right. I mean, that's what
they're
looking
at his resume, Calder winner in your rookie season. Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah. Right. Like you signed him to score goals. That's what he is supposed to do. That's what he produces. Right. Again, assists are awesome, but that's what Max Zuccarello can do. Right. And that's what Julie Eriksson-Ek can do. And that's what your defense, like, he should be the guy scoring the goal. You're not seeing Connor McDavid always on the assist page, right? Like you're seeing him scoring the goals. So
I mean, if he has, you know, 70 points this season and 50 of them are assists and 20 are goals, does it really matter? Right. I mean, he contributed to 70 goals. So that's, you know, at the end of the day, I'd be like, well, okay, I thought you might score more, but I'll take it. I mean,
I don't see, and I would disagree because I think he needs to score 30. He needs 30 goals this
year. Okay.
Just to justify the $8 million that you're paying
he'll
him,
never hear the end of it. If he has like a low scoring season,
everyone's going to go Drew Doughty on his ass then. And, you know, call him overpaid. Like it's, he needs to score 30. I mean, he needs to more than 20 for sure. More than 20. Cause how many did he have last year in a shortened season? Right. Like you're capable of doing that. And yes, it's against the teams that it was against, but I would say, he needs to score more and then have assists. Yes, it's all fine and well. And yes, it's about the team and but
on any given night,
you're a goal scorer.
You're playing next to.
Yes.
They're all wearing Wild jerseys.
They're all wearing Wild jerseys. They can all play on the same team. We don't have a top line, but you do have a top line. These are Dean Evson things, guys, in case you don't know, please watch his press conferences and listen for my voice asking him the same questions all the time. That's going to do it for this week. Unless Fred, did you want to weigh in on the scoring leader at all? Did you have a vote for Kevin Fiala?
I was thinking Kevin Fiala, but I think it's gonna be Matt's.
Oh, okay. I can see that. So we got somebody on the top line.
Someone on the top line. You're not gonna get away from that. But I think Matt's is really the guy that is still kind of underrated for the amount of praise that he's getting. I mean, he's absolutely living up to Paul Fenton's legacy.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul Fenton.
Wizard King.
That's a lizard, I think, right? Is that why he said it? Because he licked his lips all the time?
Who knows?
Anyway, keep this in. No. This is good stuff. This is content.
That's not why
this
he said
is good
it.
Content. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Again, thank you to everyone for tuning in. Shout out to Talk North for featuring us on their lovely network. Big props to Better Edge for not only having our podcast on their app, that's BETTOREdge.com, but also for the Kirill Kaprizov autograph jersey. Excited to see who wins that. Shout out to SodaStick. Keep crushing those Marcus Foligno fan club sales. It's gotten kind of weird, right, Alexis? It's gotten a little out of hand, but I love it. I'm sure you love it more.
It has been like when I did this as a joke, I didn't do it as a joke, to be shady to Marcus. I did it as a joke, this is Marcus Foligno fan club, yada, yada, yada. 2 years ago, I did not imagine that this is the point that we would get to where it was oh no, this is a thing. People want to be part of the club. There's t-shirts, it's very cool. And the fact that Marcus, you know, is as excited about it as he is as well, his family. I mean, it's pretty cool. And it's fun. This is what makes, being in Minnesota and loving, you know, hockey so much fun is all these little extra things that are a part of our love of hockey. And so, very, very excited about that. Thank you to everybody who's bought one so far.
Yes.
By the way.
And so, SodaStick obviously making a donation to the Janice Foligno Foundation with those purchases. So I think we're near $1,000 last we checked in for donating. So that's freaking awesome. You guys rock. And again, I know Marcus is so appreciative of that. So thank you guys for helping him and his family out there. Also shout out to Tony Hoagland at State Farm and cheers to Jim Beam. I actually had a Jim Beam drink the other night too.
What
and
were
it
you
was
drinking?
Delightful. It was a little hazy. I think it was like a Jim Beam with 7-Up maybe, or
okay, whiskey 7. All
it
right,
was good.
Okay.
It was, yeah, it was good. It was one of those drinks that you didn't need at the end of the night, but you had it anyway. And yeah, it was delicious. So cheers to Jim Beam.
Well, you keep saying it's that time of year. Bring out the whiskey. So
it's that time, you know. Stay
you're a
warm,
woman of your word.
Drink whiskey. Yes, I am. You know, not a fake. I'm authentic. Here we go. I was very hungover the next day. Anyway, we're gonna wrap it up because producer Fred is telling me to. Thanks again to you all. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, share, like, all that good stuff. You guys rock. We'll be back next week. Have a good one.